There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, hour number three here live right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. It's Donnie Wrightside, it's Dubs Anderson, having a lot of fun here and a lot more hot topics to get to. Our job is to get you ready for this weekend, the NFL season, the Major League Baseball schedule coming up. It's what we do. So, Dubs, hour number three, how are we feeling? Refreshed? We're ready? It's flying by.
It's Friday. I'm feeling fantastic, yep. Donnie. Getting a couple of bets loaded here as we move in to a new weekend of wagering. And look, we always complain about the dog days of summer. There's not enough sports to bet on. Well, I feel like we're moving back in to prime time. A little preseason football coming up for week two. The English Premier League's back this afternoon. The PGA Tour is in the mix. The WNBA is back after Paris. So, no, all things are suggested that we could be getting set for a monster weekend on tap, Donnie.
By the way, just to keep you updated here at the St. Jude Championship, Denny McCarthy, 7 under par now, 3 under through 5 holes, takes the lead by a shot over Sam Burns, who's 3 under also on his day. So an exciting times down there in Memphis. We'll keep you posted on some of those updates throughout the morning if we get those here. But we like to reach out to the public at this time, Dubs. We like to see what the public thinks about things. And the question asked today at Sports Grid on Twitter follows. Should MLB institute a 6-inning requirement for starting pitchers? Before I get to the poll results, who are quite lopsided, and quite frankly, I do agree with that. Rob Manfred has changed Major League Baseball quite a bit. Most people, Dubs, hate commissioners no matter what they do. This is the worst guy ever. I wish somebody would run the league. But for me, I've actually loved what Rob Manfred has done to Major League Baseball. The pitch, I'm telling you right now, for people out there that just don't understand some of the changes in the magnitude, just starting with the pitch clock, do me a favor right now. Go back a couple years and try to watch a Major League Baseball game without the pitch clock. You can't do it. You'd say, this is insanity. Nothing is happening here. Pitchers are walking around the mound. It's minutes between pitches. The pitch clock has been awesome. The DH coming to the National League, absolutely fantastic. No longer, Dubs, am I looking at lineups going like, you know what? I need to hit this team total over. Oh, no, the pitcher's coming up with 2 outs and bases loaded. How crazy was that rule where pitchers were batting? That was fantastic. The ghost runner on base in extra innings, so we don't have to wait 19 innings for a game to finish here, I think was great to save the pitcher's arms. The shift, who I couldn't stand. Oh, just hit the baseball the other way. Do you understand a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, how easy it is to hit it the opposite way or, say, hit it where they aim? I love those changes, but this question that we asked, Dubs, is kind of wild. So before we reveal the results, let me ask you, how do you feel about a 6-inning requirement for starting pitchers here in Major League Baseball?
Donnie, if I'm paying $12 to go watch the Angels play down there at Anaheim, I want to see the starting pitchers out there for 6 innings. Yes, yes, yes. I like the rule changes that we saw coming in for this season, shorter games. And yes, I do agree that the starting pitchers to stay out there for a minimum of 6 innings pitch, I think it's fantastic. And obviously it shapes up the dynamics in baseball, but it cannot be overnight, Donnie. This is something that could take a few years to get underway.
It's crazy because the thought process behind it makes a lot of sense. Like, they're not just doing this to upset the old-time baseball guys. But theoretically, even as a handicapper, how many times do you find yourself going like, Never really heard of this guy. Oh, that's right. He pitches one inning. Or every, like, why is this guy pitching only two innings at this point? Now, granted, there are escape hatches here, right? So Major League Baseball is not going to tell you, hey, look, it's the third inning. This guy's arm's going to fall off. Don't care. He better pitch six innings. There is an out clause if you are injured, but you can't skirt that issue because the rule is if you leave that game due to injury, you have to go on the IL. So you can't just fake an injury, see in 5 days I'll be the starting pitcher. Also, if your pitcher gives up more than four earned runs, he can exit throughout the process. The design also, which, you know, one of the under, valued rules that they put in too, Dubs, was, do you remember, and again, this all goes through with pace of play in the game and what people want to watch. More action is better. Major League Baseball managers on a pitcher-to-pitcher-to-pitcher basis just bring in a new pitcher for a lefty-righty matchup. The next batter, bring in a new pitcher. It really slowed the game down. So at least now relief pitchers have to pitch to three batters minimum here before they can be taken out of the game. I don't know how – and again, Rob Manfred stated this as well, Dubs. It's not going to be overnight, as you said. Like, this is going to take some time. We're going to test it out to see if it makes some sense. But theoretically, it would be better for the game of baseball if the starting pitchers were going a full six innings, because also – from me, I like to say, you know what? I got six innings out of this guy. I know my three batters, or excuse me, my batter is going to get at least three attempts off of this guy in a game. For the good of the game, I think it makes some sense, but I think it's so radical that I'm not so sure the public is picking up on it right away. Because if we do look at the results right now, Dubs, 84.2% said absolutely not, Dubs. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the public say, hey, let's leave it untouched. That's everything. The great thing. That's the great thing about baseball, Donny. It's so traditional. A lot of the rules still in place, and that's what makes the game fantastic. But I would argue that, you know, some of the starting pitchers have sort of lost that, I guess we shouldn't say prestige, but that aura around making their way out to the diamond. So it could put a bit more emphasis on really having a true ace in your ball club. So I think it's fantastic if we actually get to that. And yes, you know, they're going to be limited to 100 pitches. We're always worried about the player's safety and welfare on that side of things. But I think this would be a fantastic addition to the rules. And this is, I would say, Donnie, probably the most traditional sport that we get here in the mainstream. So I think it'd be a fantastic ad. Obviously, I'm not seeing it the same. The public, a whopping 84% in saying no. We don't want to see a starting pitcher staying out there for a minimum of six innings pitch. Come on now.
Oh, let's see, Dubs, I like your style, man. I knew there's a reason why you're going to come back here and do some shows here and have some fun with us, because I do think you're right. Even the pick of the way you voted, it should obviously just say from Major League Baseball, we just don't like the opener rule. Nobody likes the opener rule. And just a few short years ago, forget about even like the FanDuel Sportsbook, all sportsbooks. How many times did you place a wager in the afternoon and they get updated late that an opener was going to come in, so the odds would have to change and your bet would be null and void? After a while, baseball, and specifically with the FanDuel Sportsbook, like, you know what? But it doesn't matter who the starting pitcher is. That bet is going to be valid no matter who goes out there, because the openers, again, theoretically changing up the game of baseball. Hey, this guy's going to come out for one inning, and then the starter's going to come in inning number two. I like where Major League Baseball is going at this point, but sometimes it's hard. People don't like change, Dubs, right? And there are people out there still who will tell you they don't like the pitch clock. I have no idea why they don't like that. They don't like the National League getting the DH so they can match up against the American League. Who wouldn't like that at this point here? Now, I can see some of the arguments, and the reason why they took the ghost runner out in the playoffs is you're trying to get more of a natural baseball feel. But you can't say you don't like it in the regular season. Who, like, to be honest, Dubs, like, hey, it's fun as a sixth grader, right? This game went into the 18th inning, and I'm going to watch it here. Nobody wants to watch a game into the 8th inning. And also, you blow up your entire bullpen for the next week and a half if you have an 18-inning ball game going through your entire pitchers. That's the reason why I was brought in. So for my money, I love Rob Manfred, but let's just say the sixth inning requirement. Do you see this as a viable option? Let's just give you 3 years here. Are we seeing this as a rule in Major League Baseball?
I don't think it will. I think the public is spot on. There'll be too many resistors to that change, and they'll say ultimately no. It would take too much of a lot of these young pitchers in trying to develop. But let's see, maybe run it through AAA before we can bring it up to the majors. But I would say unlikely it would happen, Donnie. I'd like to see it. We're not really changing the game of baseball. We're just modernizing it. Same way as the pitch clock, trying to speed this thing up. That is not a bad problem to have there. I want to see the starting pitchers just get a bit more weight on that ball clock. I would make the argument Paul Skenes would have no issues staying out there for six inning pitches. So if your team hasn't got a Paul Skenes, go and find one.
There you go. It's the options. Again, 84% right now to the no. We'll see where this poll winds up throughout the day, but a couple hundred votes already on the board. Other people with the Sports Grid Network here chiming in. Joe Madden says she doesn't like it. AJ Freeze, if anything, it would be five innings and still a no. Dubs, the people out here don't like changes. I think we're being very progressive right now, trying to make baseball a much better product. Rob Manfred has done that. We'll see if this gets instituted, but it's an interesting product nonetheless. Imagine that. Starting pitchers absolutely have to go six innings in a Major League Baseball game. What a novel concept at that point. More Major League Baseball talk here in hour number three, coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. That's Donnie Wrightside. I'm Dubs Anderson getting you set for the Friday action out on the diamond. 14 games in play for today's slate, Donnie. Let's start with the Dodgers squaring off against the Cardinals. 31-27 at home. The Dodgers booked as your favorites here. -135 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. -134. Yet to see who's starting for the Dodgers. Miles Mikolas will get out there on the hill for the Cardinals.
Yeah, taking a look at this game, too, you always see those price points, and you say to yourself, ooh, I can get the Dodgers at a -150 price or less. Why don't I just load up? And it's not really a bad philosophy, because on a day-to-day basis, they're usually the more talented team. But it looks like Robleski is going to get that start, a guy that doesn't have a lot of Major League Baseball experience, Dubs. You take a look at 82 batters he's faced on the season. His numbers aren't great over those 82 batters. An ISO power number of 233 against and a 334 weighted on base percentage. However, his last 39 batters, Dubs, he's faced over the past 30 days, it gets much better. An ISO power number of 057 and a weighted on base percentage of 238. Very manageable here for him. And he's a left-handed pitcher. Typically, teams don't hit lefties as well as they do righties. However, the St. Louis Cardinals coming into this game, and by the way, 84-degree temperatures tonight in the stadium in St. Louis, slight wind blowing out the right field does help. The first five batters we anticipate, that's Wynn, Contreras, Pham, Arenado, and Goldschmidt, all high ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages against left-handed pitching. But let's flip it over to the Dodgers' perspective. Miles Mikolas needs to be better this year. Hasn't been. 555 batters, Dubs. He's faced a 195 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 343. His past 30 days, left-handed batters have gotten the best of him to the tune of a 225 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 344. If you look at the first five batters in that Dodgers lineup, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez, and Lux, they have all hammered right-handed pitching. So for me, I still give the lean towards the Los Angeles Dodgers, but if I'm betting for some plus money for some RBI opportunities, Ohtani, Freeman, and Lux would be the guys, Dubs, I look forward to today. Should be a good battle. Think the Dodgers win, but a better look at some of those Dodgers RBI props.
Yeah, not a bad number there. -134 for your road favorites, the Dodgers taking on the Cards. Let's take it out to the Tropicana Field. The Tampa Bay Rays playing host to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks been playing some fantastic baseball. Rattled off five of the last five there. They're booked. Well, it's close to a pick 'em here with a low total set for this one, Donnie, at eight over at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Green Nelson gets the start there for the Diamondbacks with a 4.51 ERA. What do we expect for the Rays looking to roll at home?
Boy, Dubs, isn't it hard to go against the Diamondbacks? Sometimes you do have to ride out streaks and give those teams the benefit of the doubt. There are no freebies in Major League Baseball or in sports handicapping, but sometimes you take a look at price points and go, that looks a little bit off. Yes, the Diamondbacks are on the road. It's not the greatest environment to play the Tampa Bay Rays in that dome. And Pepio's coming back to the mound here for those Rays. He actually had a pretty good start to the season. 352 batters he's faced, a low ISO and a low weighted on base percentage against him. We'll see how he does. But when you just look at that Diamondbacks lineup, like I always use, Dubs, like weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers to tell me what's going on. And particularly, I like to focus on the last 30 days. How hot have those batters been? Outside of Blaze Alexander, who's only had five at-bats in the past 30 days against right-handed pitching, if you remove him from the equation, all eight of the other batters, monster high ISO power numbers, monster high weighted on base percentages here. They should be able to hit. And the question is, Can Tampa Bay keep up? It's not a great offense. You look at Ryan Nelson, one of those pitchers coming into the season, you're probably feeling like, you know what? You can fade this guy on a day-to-day basis. Not the case anymore. Dubs, his last 121 batters he's faced over the past 30 days, an ISO power number of 118 and a weighted on base percentage of 273 against. That's spectacular. And conversely, we just saw the Diamondbacks lineup and how potent it looks. It's the opposite fear for the Rays. You have Brandon Lau and Josh Lowe in the lineup. Ridiculous. The only two batters that are above average on ISO and weighted on base percentages. Everybody else is below. I got to go with Arizona today, Dubsy.
Arizona. Nice little price there as well. Still listed as a pick. I'm taking on the Rays, one of the hottest teams in baseball. So let's see if the Diamondbacks can deal up another big performance for your Friday afternoon. Let's keep it in the American League. We're taking it out east here. We've got a great spot. The Boston Red Sox, you highlighted, been big on the baseball. They've been playing of late. They're going into Baltimore to take on the Orioles there at Camden Yards. It looks to be Baltimore as your favorites here. Getting bet down -215. So you've got to pay a bit of juice for this one with that total sitting at 8.5. We saw last night the Orioles getting the chocolates there over the Red Sox 5-1. And then you get star ace Corbin Burns out there on the slab. 12-4 win and loss for his campaign this year with a 2.71 ERA. So very impressive. Does it all look to be about the Orioles for this one, Donnie?
Dubs, I love both of these lineups, but I don't love both of these pitchers, and that's the key. You brought it up. It's Corbin Burns Day in Baltimore. He has been sensational after getting moved from the Milwaukee Brewers over to the Baltimore Orioles. Look at his season. 600 batters he's faced. ISO power numbers, we use those statistics a lot. 165 or lower is where you want to be for a pitcher. He's at a 121. Weighted on base percentage, Dubsy, for a pitcher. 325, 320, you want to be below that. He's at a 270 on the season. His last 30 days, through 127 batters he's faced, a 114 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 267. I told you, it's a very good lineup here for the Boston Red Sox. A lot of lefties that have had some success over right-handed pitchers over the past 30 days, but it's not your average right-handed pitcher. It's Corbin Burns, maybe one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball when it's all said and done this season. If we flip it over, Cooper Criswell looked like he's going to take the mound. He actually has decent statistics. However, he has a low K percentage, which, you know, Dubsy, gets you in trouble. If you're striking batters out, that means you can't even get base hits and or productive outs. We'll see if that ball gets in play because, quite frankly, like we talk about the Arizona Diamondbacks, this team looks tremendous against right-handed pitching. There is a reason why they're favored by that much. Might be a great parlay piece because I look for the Orioles winning once again against the Boston Red Sox today, Dubs.
There it is. Corbin Burns has had four or more Ks in his last five starts. Then they've also got the result off the back of his starting pitching. All right, let's take it across to Houston. The Stros are playing host to the Chicago White Sox. Donnie, you can probably see my background. Someone asked me, am I a big Chicago White Sox fan? I've got the helmet there on the setup. No, it's the only helmet I could find. They're 11-49 going on the road here. The Stros are booked as your short price favorites with a total sitting at 8. Is it all about Houston? Arrighetti gets the start with a 5.14 ERA, so far from impressive.
Yeah, can we actually get some runs here for the White Sox? Maybe they can participate. Here's the interesting part, Dubs. I'll make it quick. Crochet is the best analytical pitcher on the card today, but his numbers on the field don't add up. His last 68 batters, a 344 ISO, and a 456 weighted on base percentage against. More wins for Houston is what that tells me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back at it here on the early line. I'm Dubs Anderson alongside Donnie Wrightside. We get you set for a fantastic afternoon out there on the diamonds. 14 games in play for Major League Baseball, and let's turn it to Milwaukee. The Brewers, they're playing host to the Guardians. It's expected to be a very close one here. The Brewers have been strong playing in their ballpark, 35-24 for the season here. Very close to being a pick. And Gavin Williams gets the nod there for the Guardians, and Aaron Civale gets the start there for the Brewers with a 3-8 win loss. A couple of ERAs here, Donnie, close to what I'm paying for my Starbucks cold brew. Could we see a couple of runs?
Yeah, we might be able to see a couple runs. And also, you take a look at that price point here at the FanDuel Sportsbook on the game. It's basically a coin flip here. If we're looking at Aaron Civale, not one of my favorite pitchers here, Dubsy. Last 60 days, he has an xFIP minus of a 115 and an ERA that's approaching 5. Also, if you're looking at him struggling, he's an equal opportunity struggler right now, which means lefty and righty batters getting the best of him. 87 batters he's faced, Dubs, over the past 30 days, an ISO power number of 256 and a weighted on base percentage of 390. If I'm looking from a Guardians perspective, they haven't been all that great at the plate, particularly over the past month against right-handed pitchers. But there's two guys in that lineup that need to be on your cards for RBI opportunities. That's Jose Ramirez and it's Josh Naylor. Both of those guys, 78 at-bats and 65 at-bats against right-handed pitching. ISO power numbers, respectively, 232 and 250, also with high weighted on-base percentages. So for me, instead of saying, you know what, I don't know who's going to win this game, I do expect Ramirez and Naylor to do some damage at the plate. You take one of those two guys down here, Dubs, with an RBI prop, it's plus money. You move on to the next game. That's how I approach this one.
It is that simple. Don't overthink it. That's the Guardians taking on the Brewers. Yep. A lot of close games expected here if you're going off the odds board at the FT Sportsbook. Let's take it to Pittsburgh. The Pirates taking on the Mariners. Seattle coming into town. They get Logan Gilbert out there on the hill. And it's the one and only Paul Skeens. What a scintillating year he's putting together. The rookie, but has failed to get the result in the last four. So what do we make of this matchup? Is it all about the Pirates off the back of star ace Paul Skeens?
I'm telling you, like, you need a stopper right now for Pittsburgh. The sky is falling out there. Like, losing double-digit games, it's insanity. But Skeens should be able to pick up the victory. Why? You just saw the Mariners yesterday go a full nine innings and get one hit yesterday. Good luck going up against Paul Skeens today. Even if the Mariners actually project very well against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. But that's average right-handed pitching. That's not Paul Skeens. And also, is this a last-ditch effort, Dubsy, that we take a look at Skeens with a chance to win the side? Young, as he's also falling in that race. I expect a big-time performance, but also, how comfortable are you in this game? Two good pitchers out here, two lineups that are struggling, two teams that can't get out of their own way. Maybe just look at a strikeout prop from Paul Skeens in this one. I expect big things from him, and watch this, Dubs. We'll watch this game in the updates. Oh, look at that. The Mariners got 5 runs on the board against Paul Skeens in the third inning. That's sometimes how crazy Major League Baseball is, but you see that 6.5? Who's getting the 7 runs here? My goodness.
Yeah, it could be a tough afternoon if you're looking for plenty of offense there. One of the lowest totals we'll see going in to the Friday afternoon slate. So that's the Mariners squaring off against the Pirates. A couple of phenoms out there on the hill. What about the Royals? Kansas City looking to rumble. Eyes towards October. They're going in to Cincinnati, the great American ballpark, to take on the Reds, who sit right around 500 for the year. And again, Donnie, it's booked as a very close game. 9.5, so a higher total coming in for this one. But the Royals, they're still trying to stay in the hunt for the American League. They're in the Central. What do we make?
I think we get runs, but from a Reds perspective here, Dubs, we take a look at the pitching matchup, and Nick Martinez might not be a household name, but my goodness, take a look at his last 30 days. 71 batters he's faced, that's an 0.74 ISO against and a 2.08 weighted on base percentage. If you want to take a look at some of those analytical looks, that xFIP minus number we talk about so much, 100 is the baseline. You want to be below that for a pitcher. He's at an 81, but how about this for those old school metrics that some people like? His last 60 days, Dubs, in ERA, 1.25. So it'll be tough on the Royals today. But if we do look from a Cincinnati perspective, Michael Lorenzen on the mound for the Royals, not a great pitcher. High ISO power number against, high weighted on base percentages. Guys in the middle of that lineup, De La Cruz, Stevenson, Friedel, and Steer, those guys should be on your roster tonight for some RBI action. So for me tonight, I do think the Reds handle their business. Team total might be in effect for them, and also some RBI props in the middle of that lineup. And Ellie De La Cruz, who hasn't treated me very kindly this year, Dubs and Betts, I think he finally comes through for me tonight if I should choose to bet him. How about that?
Bobby Witt Jr. back in the mix as well in search for the 25th dinger for the season. Donnie, that's going to do it for me. It's been an absolute blast going through the Friday card. A quick update on the golf side. Sammy Burns, we started the show at 35-1, now 12-1 co-leader out there at the FedEx St. Jude. That's the kind of Friday it's going to be, Donnie.
Absolutely. And by the way, get used to Dubsy. Football season all the way through. He will be a part of us, and we are so happy to have him. Joe Leach is up next. Dubsy, enjoy the rest of your day, buddy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, the Football Friday does continue right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside and Joe Lisi stepping up and in here on a Friday to add some action-packed outcomes. Are we ready to talk some football on a Friday, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. Did you see your Eagles win last night, 14-13? Kenny Pickett looked absolutely atrocious, but Tanner McKee gets the win. And some might say Christmas came early on the network, Donnie. Me and you doing the early line.
I mean, it's tremendous overall. And by the way, I mean, come on now, Kenny Pickett. Can you see the pass rush coming in front of you? I mean, Joe, we've all seen players in the pocket that say, you know what? I know the blitz is coming. I just can't do anything about it. And you're right. Tanner McKee steps up and says, hey, man, I look like a 9-year vet with 3 Pro Bowls under my belt. I'll deliver this W for the Eagles coming down the stretch, the 2-0 Philadelphia Eagles. But if we are going to still talk preseason action, let's take a look at a game on Saturday afternoon, Joe. It's the Lions and it's the Chiefs. Heavy favorite, man. Chiefs -7. But the questions here are, why are they a 7-point favorite? We were told by Andy Reid we might be getting an entire first half of those Chiefs starters. That resonates with handicappers. Do we agree with that price point? Also, how long are we actually going to see Patrick Mahomes and the starters for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe the wide receivers will step up and we'll get the first teamers in regards to maybe a half. But for Pat Mahomes, I'm expecting a quarter of action. You can't risk his, you know, health throughout the regular season by putting him in for a half of a preseason game. But that being said, Donnie, I still think the Chiefs deserve to be a 7-point favorite. 38.5 is a huge number, though. When you think about these preseason odds, I would probably lean to the under or not play it at all. But I think the Chiefs are on the side. And here's the thing as well. When you have the first-teamers, we know about Xavier Worthy, Marquise Brown, that quarterback to wide receiver relationship is very important in the preseason. And Pat Mahomes needs to develop that outside of Travis Kelce if they're going to make another run at the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, can't afford any more injuries here if you take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs. But then again, last year was the time that you were supposed to get the Kansas City Chiefs. We've been talking about this all offseason, and Dubs and myself again this morning. It still baffles me. If you would have told me at the end of last season the Chiefs are going to get the Miami Dolphins at home in that frostbite game, but then have to go on the road against the Bills, on the road against the Ravens, and then wind up in the Super Bowl against the 49ers before it happened, I said, yeah, there's no – first of all, they don't even make it to the AFC Championship game, let alone get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. And they did, Joe. So the price points this year reflective. To win the AFC West, minus 230. AFC title, plus 350. Super Bowl numbers, plus 600 here, tied with the San Francisco 49ers as we're expecting a rematch. What's the outlook for the Chiefs? Because I believe they're more talented, Joe, than they were even last year.
Yeah, they're like a chameleon, right, Donnie, in terms of how they developed with Isaiah Pacheco in the rushing attack and relied on the defense. Now you get Marquise Brown and you get Xavier Worthy, the potential to be sprinkled in and have that explosive offense like they had with Tyreek Hill is there. You're right. We have to see it develop. I wouldn't bet the AFC East odds, right? The minus 230 or minus 270 isn't appealing for me, but the plus 350 for the AFC and more important, 6-1 for a Super Bowl championship yet again, you're still going to be in the mix. There's no doubt that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. So 6-1 right here in the offseason, I think has value, Donnie.
Yeah, and also, let's take a look at the West, right? Because you're looking at the Las Vegas Raiders. A lot of question marks with the quarterback situation. You look at the Denver Broncos. A lot of questions. Who's going to be the quarterback? And it might even be a rookie quarterback. You take a look at the Chargers. It's Harbaugh's first year trying to institute his so-called game plan this year and see what goes in the future. We used to look at the New England Patriots show and say to ourselves, boy, every single year, it's automatic 5 wins. They probably get 6 wins in the division. Is it going to be a walkover in this division? Because the key we thought last year was, please, just get Kansas City out of home field advantage as that number one seed in the AFC. Somebody's going to beat them. And they didn't. So is it a walkover in just that own division for themselves?
I think it is, Donnie. And again, we haven't seen Justin Herbert and the Chargers step up, especially, you know, with Brandon Staley. Now it's Jim Harbaugh. He loses those weapons. He's hurt entering the preseason. How is he going to develop? Is he going to be 100% healthy the first month of the regular season? And for me, Donnie, I think the only team that, from a competitive standpoint, potentially could maybe get a win over the Kansas City Chiefs in the division is the Las Vegas Raiders, because of Gardner Minshew, because of how that defense performed in Arrowhead last year as a 12.5-point underdog. They win it outright. They have the confidence that they can go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. But that aside, I mean, I could see Kansas City going, quite honestly, 5-1, 6-0 in the division.
Yeah, and that's the key. And also, as long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy and under center, they're going to do a lot of damage in 2024. If we look at those seasonal props for Patrick Mahomes, touchdown passes, passing yards, will he be the touchdown leader, the yardage leader? Does anything stick out to you as an opportunity? Because the one thing we do know, it's very hard for the betting public to say, you know what, let me just take an under on Patrick Mahomes in any number.
Yeah, I think the passing yards is going to be there, right? I mean, he's still going to chuck it 30, 35 times per game. 32.5 touchdowns is appealing as well, because now with those added weapons and the ability for Isaiah Pacheco coming out of the backfield to catch passes, that's always an added attribute to that offense. So I like the passing yards, and I like the passing touchdowns. The awards I don't buy into as much. We know he's going to be there, but when it comes down to the public and perception, that's where I back off. So I like the yards and I like the touchdowns this year, because I think Marquise Brown has the potential to hit the ground running. He could be that Tyreek Hill type of player, playing with one of the best ever in terms of Patrick Mahomes. He could be at least a 1,200-yard receiver this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those, you know, quarterbacks and receivers actually meld here. But the one thing that is interesting is I do see the starters are going to play. You have that injury to Hollywood Brown. We don't know how long he's going to be out for, but it's not season ending. He should be back hopefully in the mid to later parts of September. But if you do have a quarterback that can sort of, quote unquote, get by in the meantime, yeah, it's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They'll certainly be ready for it, no doubt about it. If we do look at that MVP market, which I always get a kick out of this, and we just flashed the graphic up a short time ago, here's a 5-1 price to win the MVP for Mahomes. Obviously, he's going to be in the mix. We expect him to be one of the better football teams in the NFL. But to be the offensive player of the year, it's a 50-1 price. So you're telling me he's the best player in football, but he's 50-1 to win the offensive player of the year. Why do we still do this year with these type of award numbers here? That doesn't make any sense, Joe.
No, it doesn't. And that's why Tyreek Hill was the front runner. Wasn't Tyreek at one point when he was close to 2,000 yards? He was down to plus 350 at one point. We know that they give the offensive player of the year mostly to wide receivers, and the MVP goes to the quarterback. So again, it comes down to perception. That's why I don't personally like betting those preseason, because I'd rather take a shot midseason, once you can get a gauge about potential projection and trajectory over the second half of the season. But again, Pat Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, hands down. We saw the NFL 100 list come out, and they put Tyreek Hill in terms of number one overall. That's a joke as well. Pat Mahomes has three Super Bowls.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. If we are looking at that MVP market, it is always about the quarterbacks. Quarterbacks that are 15-1 or less to win the MVP this season. It's Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. If we take out Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, who would get the nod for you?
I'm still a believer in Stafford. I'm still a believer in Jordan Love. You know, Jordan Love, to me, he got his money. He has the weapons. And again, I believe in the Green Bay Packers. The way he elevated over the second half of the season, he averaged 270 passing yards per game, only four interceptions over the last 8 or 9 games, knocked off Kansas City, knocked off Detroit, and oh, by the way, pounded Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys in the playoff game. I think Jordan Love has great odds.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how it plays out, because, again, it takes a whole heck of a lot. Last year we saw, you know, Christian McCaffrey charging up those leaderboards to be an MVP, but it's so hard to knock the quarterbacks off. But, again, you're talking about a dominant force in Kansas City with Andy Reid, maybe the best head coach we've ever seen in the NFL when it's all said and done. Patrick Mahomes is his quarterback, and they open up on Thursday Night Football, and I'm sure the boys will be in studio for this one, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens to start that season off. Can't wait for that to happen, but a lot more has to take place in the preseason. Let's talk more football next, right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rolling on a Friday morning here. I mean, we are getting you ready for this weekend's action and also the upcoming NFL season. Can't get enough of it. And also, Offensive Rookie of the Year odds. It's on the right side. It's Joe Lisi. Who wins this? Or is it already done? A plus 135 price here on Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels at a plus 550 price. Before we get to the first receiver, that's Marvin Harrison Jr. at a plus 750. Let's just start with the first two quarterbacks. Is there a legitimate chance? Because based on the price points here, technically there is, but there should be a runaway favorite with Williams. Does Daniels have a chance to steal that thunder from Caleb Williams this year, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely, Donnie. And here's the thing. With Cliff Kingsbury at the helm calling the plays, he's going to have every opportunity running it. We saw it in terms of the preseason action against the New York Jets and throwing it. I think Jaden Daniels potentially has the best value from the quarterback position because they're going to put the football in his hands. They have a 6.5 win total. Dan Quinn is a veteran head coach. He'll take care of the defense and allow Cliff Kingsbury to open it up with Jaden Daniels. And there's playmakers there. I am not a believer on Caleb Williams for two factors. One, I think, number one, he still has a little bit of development in terms of reading certain types of coverage. I think he forces balls sometimes. And the other factor is Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus is a defensive-minded head coach, and even though he has the playmakers and weapons, he still wants to win football games 17-13 as opposed to 40-20.
But he's a superstar, Joe. Hard knocks. He's taking the nation by storm. You should love the fluff piece right now in the Chicago Bears entering into the season. I mean, they got the daughters, the wife out there hyping him up. He's got the new beard. He's got the new haircut. He's getting the barbershop. So, yeah, man, look, changing that image up. If I ask you this question, let's remove the top two quarterbacks. It's Williams and Daniels. The next three on the odds market at the FanDuel Sportsbook are Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Xavier Worthy, all wide receivers. If I gave you one bet, who is going to have the better season of those three wide receivers this year?
I would say Malik Nabers. And the reason why I say that is because I think he's the most polished out of all three of those guys. Not to take away from Marvin Harrison Jr. He's that Calvin Johnson, big body type of player. But Malik Nabers can get yards after the catch. He is that Tyreek Hill home run type of hitter. And even though he might be playing with Daniel Jones or Drew Locke, I still think with Brian Daboll's offense outside alongside Wandale Robinson, Malik Nabers could have the best numbers out of all three of those guys. I want to buy into Xavier Worthy, but he could be like Kadarius Toney 2.0 in terms of year number one. So we have to see how that plays out. Suffered with drops at Texas. I will throw one name out for you, and he's not on that board, but Brock Bowers, playing with Gardner Minshew, has the potential, if he develops and they put him in early, he's a Travis Kelce type of player. You might get him. I think he's 40 or 50-1, Donnie.
Yeah, how about this? Coleman's on that list, too. McConkey's on the list a little bit later down. Drake May at a 34-1. Roma Dunze at a 41 price here going over there to the Chicago Bears. It should be fun. There's a lot of talent on that list here. We'll see if Caleb certainly lives up to the hype. And if he does, maybe it equates in a Super Bowl run. They're pretty far down the list. We don't honestly think that's going to happen. But if it does, it'll be fun to watch. But the Super Bowl odds this year coming into the season at the FanDuel Sportsbook list as follows. The Chiefs and the 49ers, Joe, tied up top at a 6-1 price, followed by the Ravens, Lions, Eagles, Texans, Bengals, Bills, Cowboys, and Packers. Are we going to see a Super Bowl repeat with the Niners and the Chiefs this year?
I don't think so. I think the Chiefs have a better shot, and it's not to take away from Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. I know on paper they're the best team in terms of the NFC, but again, they haven't stepped up. That Super Bowl was ripe for the taking last year, and they blew it in regards to the overtime game, and that's going to carry with Kyle Shanahan. I think that pressure develops throughout the year, and I think one of these other teams do catch them. I think there's no doubt San Francisco makes the playoffs, but the Rams are getting better, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They could be live potentially to win the division as well. And I'm still buying into your Philadelphia Eagles, Donnie. I'm a buyer of Jalen Hurts. I'm a buyer of Sirianni. Now with the two new coordinators and what they were able to do in regards to the defensive back talent added on in the draft, I think they're going to be there for the NFC.
Yeah, the one thing is we won't know how good that offense is, even though they are cooking with grease in practice. Every beat writers love it, exactly what Jalen Hurts is doing. I expect big things out of the offense, and Vic Fangio comes over to settle that defense down for the Eagles. Playing out, I think it'll be a pretty good season. Now, I asked Dubs this question, too. I ask you the same thing, Joe. We look at the Texans at a 15-1 price. That's the team that's like, you know, on the rise. Last year, maybe bit off even more than they could chew. Win a division, win a playoff game. C.J. Stroud's a rookie. The sky is the limit. Are we too fast too soon with the Texans at a 15-1 price? Or, Joe, are they a legitimate contender here to get to a Super Bowl and possibly win it?
I think they're a legitimate contender, and with the addition of Stephon Diggs, they're deserving of the 15-1 price. But again, we're talking about the division. Any one of those teams can come out of there and potentially challenge Jacksonville and Indianapolis respectively, so it's not going to be easy. I'm a buyer of C.J. Stroud, but again, I wouldn't buy into them right now at 15-1. I think there's parity within the division that you might get a better shot, maybe 20-22-1 if they start off slow the way Cincinnati did last year. But I'm still a buyer of Joe Burrow. If we're talking big picture in terms of outside of Kansas City, I'm not a buyer right now with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. He needs to show me that he could do it in terms of the passing attack in a playoff game. But I'll take a shot. Joe Burrow at 7-1 with T. Higgins coming back for one more run, Jamar Chase, and what they were able to do in regards to the offensive line. I'll take a shot with Joe Burrow and the Bengals at 7-1, Donnie.
We always like value, too, and you're going to get some bangers right off the bat, which means the Chiefs and the Ravens are going to play 6-1 and 10-1 here. Those numbers will change based on who wins that game. Same thing with the Eagles and the Green Bay Packers, 8-1 on the Packers, 13-1 on the Philadelphia Eagles. Sometimes you get some squirrely environments in week number one, which includes playing in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Ooh. So if the Eagles or the Packers lose, would you jump on them as an 0-1 team, probably getting enough, like let's just say the Eagles drop to 15 or 16-1 as value there?
Yeah, absolutely, Donnie. That's what you wait for, right? We saw it with Kansas City losing to Detroit, right? Right out of the gate, 21-20. Their value fluctuated right after the first week of the season. Same thing with the Bengals. Now, granted, it didn't play out for Joe Burrow, but they started out slow, 0-2. You get better value. So that's why it's easy to monitor the first couple of weeks of the regular season.
Joe Lisi put in a job application, see if he can hang on the early line. We answered that job application. He's going to get a solo chance next, people. Don't you go anywhere. I got to head to radio. Joe Lisi closes it down. I might not have a job. He might be so good. Let's go, Joe Lisi. Best bets on the way next. We'll talk.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the early line, Donnie Wrightside had to go for the over 55 buffet for lunch. So we're wrapping up the show. Ben and Donnie will be back on Monday night. I think we're ready, guys, for bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Oh, Joe Friezo, you got to love that. I'll give a bet out for today in regards to Major League Baseball. The Dodgers have been absolutely killing me. They're 9.5 win total with Mikolas and St. Louis. So 9.5 win total. I actually altered it up to 11.5. Today, we'll see if the Dodgers could do it. Dodgers could break out. Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts in that lineup. Let's go for broke. We also have an early game. Chicago Cubs taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. That total with Hendricks on the mound is 10.5. So I altered that up to 12.5 as well. So we'll see how those two games play out. Over Chicago, 10.5. Over Dodgers, 9.5 a little bit later. Maybe we could put it together for an early line parlay, the double deuce right here on the early line. College football starts August 24th. We got the AP poll that came out this past Monday. The usual suspects at the top, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, and Alabama round out the top five. I said it with Kevin in terms of game time decisions. I actually believe Oregon and Dan Lanning are deserving of more than one place vote. They do have Dylan Gabriel that transfers over for Oklahoma. Let's not forget Dylan Gabriel, 30 touchdowns last year, 4 interceptions. Digged hand, Texas and Steve Sarkisian their only regular season loss. Keep an eye out for Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks. Right now, they are 1.5-point favorites. That October 12th game against Ohio State, we'll see that how that game plays out with their new quarterback, Will Howard. One team in terms of the top 10, I'm still not buying. I still like James Franklin overall as a coach, but I can't buy into Drew Aller and the Nittany Lions, number 8 overall. They need to show me that they could do it before I back them in terms of the top 10. You get Singleton that does come back in terms of Katron Allen as well, but the X factor for Penn State, why I'm not buying in early, is Drew Aller. 3 losses last year, Penn State, Drew Aller under 50% completion percentage. They failed to beat Ohio State over the past few seasons, failed to beat Michigan last year when they had Sherrone Moore as an interim head coach. And even though that defense is solid, you have a new defensive scheme with Manny Diaz now becoming the new head coach over at Duke. So we'll see how that plays out. When you look at some other teams that potentially can make some noise, keep an eye out for Texas Tech this year. 7-6 last year. Joey McGuire, in terms of the Big 12, have a huge number in terms of the Big 12 championship. 18-1 right now. They opened around 4 or 5 months ago at about 10-1 number. Everybody's selling short Texas Tech and Joey McGuire. He's done a fantastic job. Starting quarterback Brennan Morton is back along with Taj Brooks. That's going to be an added dimension in regards to the Big 12 this season. So they have value. Keep an eye out for Rocco Beck and Iowa State. I think that's a solid team. Their schedule is a little bit difficult, but Rocco Beck got the experience as a freshman last year, and I think that could pay dividends in the Big 12 this coming season. Teams I'm not buying early on. I'm not a buyer of Miami. Everywhere you look, Mario Big Chest is going to win 11 games. He's 12-13 overall in his tenure in South Beach and just 67-67 in terms of his career as a head coach. Cam Ward comes over from Washington State. You also get Damian Martinez, the transfer from Oregon State as well. But even though the schedule might be light, this is a team that has failed to step up and live up to expectations. They haven't beaten Florida State in back-to-back years. They lost 28-21 last year, 2 years ago. They got absolutely boat raced. And even though they started fast last season, the coaching factor for Mario Cristobal is always a concern. He cost his team the game against Georgia Tech. They lost down the stretch to teams like North Carolina and NC State, respectively. And even though Cam Ward is there, he has the better potential to possibly look like De'Ara King 6 years ago, as opposed to Vinny Testaverde. So see how that plays out. I'm a seller of the Hurricanes early on. Keep an eye out for Florida State. They open next week against Georgia Tech. They're an 11.5-point favorite, down from 12.5 on FanDuel. DJU has the experience, and I think Mike Norvell at plus 154 is live to make the college football playoff. The guys will be back next Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. Coming up next, the Newswire, Major League Baseball with Craig Mish. Coming right back.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.